Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. So last week I was here the day before Thanksgiving, and we talked a lot about how to handle food over the holidays. If you celebrated Thanksgiving, or if you have any questions about how to deal with the whole holiday meal thing, if you want to share your holiday successes from last week or your challenges or anything else that's on your mind, give me a call. The number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. Okay, so I have a question here from Anne Marie. She wants to know how to get through the six-week stretch from Thanksgiving to New Year's without blowing it. And by blowing it, I think that means going off track and eating a bunch of food that would cause her to gain weight. Okay, so here's a thought, Anne Marie, and anyone else who can relate to this question. The holidays are actually not 6 weeks long. They are not even 6 days. Unless, like, you count the 8 days of Hanukkah or the 7 days of Kwanzaa, the holidays are really only a handful of days sprinkled over that six-week period. We have Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, if you celebrate it, Christmas, if you celebrate it, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. That's 5 days, and if you celebrate Hanukkah or Kwanzaa, or both, you never know, that's another 7 or 8 days, but you don't generally have a big blowout celebration all those days. So let's say that's an average of, I'm gonna get right back to that. I have a caller. Let me get to this person. Hi, caller. Welcome. You're on with Dr. Nina.
Hi, Dr. Nina. It's Nicole. How are you?
Hi, Nicole. How are you? How did it first, you know, give us an update. How did it go last week over Thanksgiving?
Yeah. To share my success, I know at the beginning of the show you just said if you want to share your successes or stories, call. And I had a really good Thanksgiving unexpectedly. I just woke up in the morning and I felt so thankful, and I was able to really focus on my family and the people and all the gratitude I have instead of like stuffing myself with food all day. And it was just like a really good feeling.
Wait, this deserves this. Yay! I know that that's really significant because you've called the show on a regular basis and you've talked a lot about the preoccupation. And so to be free of that on Thanksgiving is a real achievement.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much. And the tools you gave me last week really, really helped. So I owe part of it to you. Thank you.
You are very welcome.
And I'm actually calling with another question today. So I feel like one particular time I feel like I do binge eat is when I'm exhausted and tired. And I feel like, especially like if I go out on a date or go out with friends and I come home and I'm really tired, I'll like, the kitchen is like on the way to my bedroom. So I feel like I control and I just eat so much.
All right, so...
And then I don't know how to avoid that.
Okay, well, I think that the answer is in that giving yourself what you really need, because what you're saying is you're tired, you're exhausted, and yet you're eating maybe to keep yourself awake or to perk yourself back up, something like that?
Yeah, I guess.
I can't remember when, but recently I talked on the show, you might remember it, about some moms, when they feed their babies, they don't check out, like, is the baby tired? Is the baby hungry? Does the baby need a hug? Or, what does this baby need? Why is she crying? It's just, here's some food. So sometimes we get so used to using eating or food as the to resolve anything uncomfortable that's just mm-hmm. the go-to. So maybe you have some conflict about being tired. Like, what does it mean to be tired?
Right. You're right. Actually, that resonates perfectly. You said, yeah, like I'm trying to pacify myself with food where I should just give myself what I really need, which is sleep.
Right. The answer to being tired is rest.
I feel better.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, okay. What are your, like, do you have any kind of thoughts about that? Like, it seems pretty obvious. Nick, if you can hear me, so I know Nick's number now. Nick, if you can hear me, call me back after I'm off the phone with Nicole. I unfortunately cannot
No.
He heard me. He's off.
Okay.
He'll call back. No. You're talking to me. You're fine.
All right.
So I've heard this before where people kind of almost have, like, they get mad at themselves for being tired a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm tired. Instead of, I'm tired, I need to rest. Like, they almost get irritated with themselves. Does that right. resonate at all?
Yeah, it does a little bit, I guess. Like, I'm tired. Why am I tired? Like, I guess I want to feel better. I want to feel tired. I know I have to, like, wash my face, moisturize, brush my teeth, floss. And, like, I want to have energy to do all of that. I don't know. Is that what it is?
Well, maybe there's just some kind of, like, very low level, low grade discomfort with being tired. So when you eat mm-hmm. it, kind of, especially if you eat sugary things, but really anything, it's this illusion like, oh, that's going to wake me up.
Right.
Rather than, okay, this is a sign from my body that I need to rest. And yes, I will just, you know, maybe I won't give myself the most thorough face cleaning ever and whatever, but I need to get some sleep, like self-care.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. So, okay. From now on, I come home, I'm tired. What do I really want right now? What do I really need? I'm tired. I need sleep. I'm just going to go in my room.
Sleep or rest or even like a little nap or just just sometimes just like giving your mind a break, just being like even like 15 or 20 minutes can be so helpful because that's what you need, right? Food isn't the answer to sleepiness or exhaustion.
Yes, you're right. I'm gonna write that down. Food is not the answer to sleepiness. Okay.
Yeah.
Any other technique? I think that's super helpful. Any other technique I can use to, like, avoid the kitchen? No, right?
Well, I think
the self-talk.
The one technique that fits for everything is, oh, and if you guys are on Instagram Live, I just lost it due to poor connection. Hopefully it will reconnect soon. Sorry, guys. The one question that applies to every situation is, am I actually physically hungry or do I have some kind of hungry heart or need to relax or like, is there some other reason that I'm using food? Is it because I'm hungry? Is it because I'm sad? Is it because I'm lonely? Is it because I want to relax? Is it because I want to perk up? Like, if it's not physical hunger, what is it?
Okay. Gotcha. I love it. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And it gets easier to answer the questions the more that you ask them.
Right. Well, I'm sure I'll have another question next week.
I'm sure you will. or two or however many questions you have. I have answers.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Nina. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh. So I think a lot of you guys, I'm trying to reconnect my my video here. Let's see. It is not working. Let's see. I'm going to try to go live again. We may or may not. Oh, I'm live again. Yay. Before I get to the what I was talking about for Anne Marie, I just want to share my really cute shirt here. Right? Can you see it? This shirt is from Killer Fit Athletics. And why I really like them is that they donate a share of their profits to charities that support cancer patients. And this one supports, I think you can see, Beat Breast Cancer is on the back. Check them out, Killer Fit Athletics on Instagram. I really, I'm so supportive of any kind of business that shares and gives back and tries to help other people, and they do that. So check them out, Killer Fit Athletics. Okay, so I was talking about Anne-Marie's question about how to get through 6 weeks of holidays. And I was saying, really, it's only a matter of days sprinkled throughout the holidays, which makes it a little more bearable. So basically, all you have to do is take it a day at a time, a meal at a time. And that makes it a whole lot less daunting than 6 weeks of holiday scary meals, right? Because if you think, okay, you know what, I've got a few days scattered over the next 6 weeks, I can do that. And it's not even a day, it's a meal. Here's another tip. When you're at these holiday events, when you're at these get-togethers, whether they're parties or family things or whatever it is, avoid conversations about food and exercise. Have you ever noticed how many people, as they're eating, are talking about what they're going to eat next or what they've eaten or why they shouldn't be eating this? And then they start talking about calories and exercise and weight loss goals and the D word, diets. And that can make you anxious. It can make you uncomfortable, which, of course, if you don't know how to soothe yourself or comfort yourself with language, with words, makes it all the more likely you're going to eat for comfort. So get yourself away from those conversations in whatever way possible. Change the subject. Just, they start talking about diets, say, oh, never trust a four-letter word where the first three letters spell die. What do you think of blah, 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 whether it's something about sports or maybe not politics, but politics possibly, or movies or whatever, plans for the new year. Here's another suggestion during this six-week period. Focus on what you like and appreciate about yourself. It sounds so simple, right? Yeah, I gotta focus on what I like about myself. But it's really hard to do. And at first, if you're used to focusing on what you don't like about yourself, it can be very challenging and very difficult. Because your mind automatically goes to that neural pathway of what I don't like about me. So remember this. We find the evidence that we look for. Whatever evidence you find is the evidence you're looking for. And if it's positive, you're going to feel good. And when you feel good, you're not going to want to eat or use food in any way. If it's negative and awful, you feel bad. And then, yes, you might binge. You might overeat. You might use food that you might use food in some way, eat something you don't want to eat. So, you know, just really, really focus on what you like about yourself. And by the way, when other people make comments, because I hear this all the time, my patients and my people in my online program say, oh, I can't believe that my uncle said this to me, or my, you know, brother said this to me, or, you know, my niece said to me, why are you so fat? Stuff like that. Ew, it's just cringeworthy. It's awful. There may be comments like that. Or even if you're not overweight, people make comments about what you're eating. Oh, you really like that pie, right? Or someone just makes some non-funny joke, ha ha ha, about what you're eating, what you weigh, whatever. It hurts. It is upsetting. But look at what else is going on. Like, you know, are people saying other things to you other than that? What other evidence is there other than people are just looking at you and thinking about your weight and what you're eating? Maybe your nephew tells you you're the best aunt or uncle ever. Or maybe your significant other holds your hand and squeezes your hand while they're saying stupid things to show love and support. So look at the, don't just focus on the cringeworthy, awful comments or the stupid things that other people are saying about you. Focus on other things that are going on that give you a different feeling about yourself. So just think about, what are you going to focus on? Are you going to focus on how disrespectful people are, how much they're judging you, how much they're scrutinizing you, how much you feel like under a microscope? Or are you going to focus on other things? And I want to be really clear. I am not suggesting that you ignore or dismiss the painful or upsetting things that people say. All your feelings need your attention. But for this one day, whatever day it is, balance the difficult part of the holiday. That would be the two F's, food and family, with the good parts. Even if all you can do is congratulate yourself for just showing up, that can feel really good. In fact, be grateful for being the person you are. And if you are watching or listening to me right now, that means you are doing the difficult, hard work of understanding why you turn to food instead of just focusing on what you're eating. Because guess what? It is a lot easier to diet and count calories, carbs, and fat grams. It is easier to focus on food than it is to think about the difficult, painful things that food's keeping you from, and to feel those difficult, painful emotions or think those difficult thoughts. So be grateful for your resilience, for your tenacity, for your courage to do that, and for allowing yourself to hold on to hope for a different relationship to yourself, a different relationship to others, and a different relationship to food. And hey, Nick, if you're listening, please feel free to call back. Unfortunately, I cannot take a call without cutting off the caller that I'm on. Hopefully that makes sense. But I want to hear from you, so give me a call. Okay, so let's go back. A few weeks ago, I started to answer a question from Adam, and I never got to give a complete answer, so I'm going to do my best now. So to recap, Adam writes, I want to eat to live instead of living to eat. How can I stop eating for enjoyment and start thinking about food simply as a way to meet my nutritional requirements? And what I started to say was, Adam, you cannot do that. And moreover, you should not do that. I'm not a fan of the word should, but this is a place where it applies. Here's Nick. Okay. Hi, Nick. Welcome to the show.
I'm having trouble getting you on my computer. You go on for about 5-10 minutes, and it stops and whatever. Maybe I was wondering if it was your show, but it's obviously my computer.
No, it's my. I had some poor connection issues, so I was offline for like maybe a couple minutes. But hopefully it's back working again. But what's going on?
This is great. There's three things that are important you set goals for, and I've done great two of them. That is the walking is going great, and the not getting on a scale is great. Yay! But what you're talking about is food.
Yes.
You know, we don't use the word diet because D-I-E is in front of it.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right. Never trust a four-letter word where the first three letters spell die.
Die, exactly. Well, anyways, I don't know if I really know how to diet.
Well, you shouldn't know how to diet. What, are you saying you don't know how to eat, intuitively?
Yeah, that's it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because I'm on a different phone here. But the definitely what to eat. What's good, what's not. And I know it's not these TV diets they have, you know, every 10 minutes on the phone, on the TV. I mean, how? For a person that really hasn't got down with knowing what food to eat, I need nutrition, I need...
You need some guidelines.
A lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, in terms of what to eat, that's... since my specialty is the psychology of eating, I can't really give you specific guidelines of what to eat, but I can give you a general thought about that, which is that you wanna go for intuitive eating, where you're tuning in to what your body is needing rather than what your mind tells you that you should or should not have. And if you have, you know, kids when they're young, before they start getting bribed for, if you finish your meal, you know, you're going to get dessert. Kids are intuitive eaters. I've often talked about how, like with my daughters, I would say, hey, you know, they'd say, I'm hungry, I want a snack. And I'd be like, okay, you can have an orange, you can have some cookies, you can have some toast with peanut butter, you can have some celery and hummus. Like, they're all equal. And invariably, you would think they'd be like, oh, ice cream or cookies. But invariably, sometimes it would be like, yeah, I want cookies. But sometimes it would be like, no, I want the hummus, or I want an orange, or I want a banana, something like that. Because they're intuitive. They're tuned into what they want rather than let me make the good, healthy choice that I'm supposed to have, because that sets you up for then deprivation. So you want to start just asking yourself, what is it I'm hungry for? How hungry am I on a scale of 1 to 10? Am I physically hungry? And what do I feel like I need? And at first, it's very hard to do this. But the more that you ask yourself that, the more you'll be able to be like, okay, well, I feel like I need protein. Or I feel like I need something warm and filling. Now, is that psychological or is that, you know, physical? Do I feel like I need some carbs or something? Or I want a salad. So the first thing to do is ask yourself, are you hungry physically or are you hungry emotionally? The second thing to do is to get rid of the idea of good food and bad food, because that translates into good you, bad you. And then the third thing to do is say, what is my body needing right now? Do I need more protein? How hungry am I? What is it that I'm needing? Do I want, if it's protein, do I want fish? Do I want steak? Do I want tofu? You know. And it's very difficult to do at first, but it gets easier and easier and easier, because once upon a time, you were an intuitive eater. It just got disrupted. We're all born intuitive eaters. So
great.
It's about getting used to asking yourself different questions instead of putting up prohibitions. I should have that. I shouldn't have that. That's good. That's bad. Think more like, okay, I want to be like, and think like 70% healthy. People often have this mistaken idea that they've got to eat healthy, or the new word is clean. Clean eating 100% of the time. No, my dietitian colleagues will say that they tell people, look, if you're eating healthy 70% of the time, 75% of the time, you're doing pretty well. Aim for that. Don't worry about perfection and all or nothing.
There?
Yeah, I kind of hear myself in the background. Is am I on your computer?
Yeah,
Yeah, I think you need to turn that off.
I'm on the phone. We had the computer didn't work.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I was just sitting and loading everything down.
Yeah, but you can listen to the afterwards, because I put it on. Oh, for those of you who don't know, I put these all on Instagram, my Instagram TV, and I'm gonna start putting them on my YouTube channel too. So if you miss the show, you can get it. You can listen to it at the LA Talk Radio Archives. You can listen to it on iTunes or anywhere you get podcasts, or you can see it on my Instagram TV. Practice those three questions. Am I physically hungry? And, you know, what does my body need? What do I really feel like eating? Two questions.
What do I choose not to eat?
The third part was, do not do the good food, bad food. Do not do the, I should have that, I shouldn't have that. No good food, bad food. You know, if you write a list on a, if you do two columns on a piece of paper and write down all the clean food on one end, on one side, and on the other side you write down all the your perceived bad foods. In your case, I think it would be ice cream. What you want to do is you take that column in the middle and you erase it. And it's not about good or bad. It's just about different choices ranging from healthy to not healthy. And also, the less that you are eating from emotional place or a place of conflict or from some kind of symbolic place, the easier it's going to be intuitive.
Great. Great start.
Awesome, Nick. Well, I'm so glad you called back.
Me too. And I'll keep you posted.
Yes.
And I'll get these three things together. And
wonderful. And remember,
I look forward to it.
Practice makes progress, not perfection. Progress. So
progress.
Keep practicing.
Thank you very much.
All right. Let me know how it goes.
You know I will.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think that when you've been dieting your whole life or been in a combative relationship to food your whole life, it's really hard to know what to eat because what you're so used to is thinking about what you're not going to eat. I shouldn't eat that. Oh, I ate it. Bad me. And so when you get to a place of, okay, well, how do I eat? It's very common. So I recommend that maybe, you know, talk to a dietitian or give me a call. I'm not a dietitian, but I, you know, this is my field. So I know a lot about the psychology part of it. It's really not it's really not about what food to eat. It's about getting comfortable with trusting yourself. And this kind of goes back to Adam's question of how can I stop eating for enjoyment and start thinking about food simply as a way to meet nutritional requirements. You know, that's not a goal. That should not be a goal. Food is supposed to be enjoyed. The purpose of eating is not only to meet nutritional requirements. It's also about enjoying food. It's one of the pleasures of life that we can become very conflicted about. But if you're only meeting your nutritional requirements, you know, you might as well be an astronaut, you know, up in space eating pellets of nutrition. Oh, another caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. You're on with Dr. Nina.
Hi, Dr. Nina. It's Brian from Chicago. How are you?
Hi, Brian from Chicago. Good to hear from you. How are you?
Doing well. I trust everybody at your end is safe from all the fires and you're all okay.
Yes, thank you for asking. My family was evacuated for like 5 days, 4 nights with Zane. A lot of people messaged me on Instagram and Facebook. How's Zane? Is Zane okay? Zane had the best time ever. He had 24 hours of more people giving him love. And yeah, everyone is fine. Thank you. We do have friends who were not so lucky, so my hearts are with them and everyone else.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking.
They look pretty bad from Chicago, so I was thinking of all of you.
Yeah.
And my question this morning is probably one that you've been asked 1,000 times, but like so many people, I have friends who I know are going to struggle with their eating and with their, you know, their body image and things through the holidays, because everything related to these holidays, from commercials to store displays, seems to be all about food and eating. And eating is, you know, a big family table. And if you don't have a big table full of food, then you must not have a family that cares about you and something's wrong. You know, there's all these messages that seem to be very food-centered, and I know that a lot of folks I know are probably going to have a tough time. So what can I do as, you know, a concerned friend and family member to kind of help them through without directly asking them questions that might feel kind of shaming?
Well, it's a very good question. And by the way, people can't ask me questions often enough because, you know, it sometimes you got to hear the question and the answer many, many, many times before it kind of gets integrated into your soul and your mind. So you ask a good question, which is, how do you let your friends know that you're there to support them if they don't necessarily say something? So I'm going to answer your question in two parts. One is, if they do say something, and by the way, people don't generally say, oh my goodness, I feel so much shame about the holiday. No, they'll say things like, as they're eating or taking some food, they'll say, oh, I really shouldn't eat this. Oh, I don't know what's wrong with me that I'm eating this. Things like that. And that's when you strike when the iron is hot and you say, hey, you know what? I would love for you to just enjoy that instead of apologizing for it. We're supposed to, like what I'm saying to Adam in his question, we're supposed to, it's a day to enjoy this. Don't apologize for it. Don't feel bad for it. Being healthy is not, you know, eating perfectly every day. And then, you know, then you can say what you can. I mean, does that resonate with you? Is that something that you feel like you could say to someone mm-hmm. who would make an apology?
I think so, but I just wonder if it might not be received as, you know, I'm trying to fix somebody's feelings by saying, oh, don't feel that way. You know what I mean? That I get what you're saying, and I think that's a healthy message, but I just wonder about how it might be received.
Well, I guess, well, that is also a good point, and I think that maybe saying it in a way of like I statements, like I feel sad when you say that. I feel sad when you, I feel bad with that you're apologizing for what you're eating. And make it from I, not you shouldn't feel that way. Say, oh, I feel mm-hmm. sad. I feel bad that you're not enjoying this with me. You know, let's mm-hmm. just like. You know, let's just leave the shame and the guilt aside and enjoy this meal together.
Okay. And what if they're not really able to do that? Is there something else that can be done for them?
I think
other than give them your number.
Yes. It's a hard question because some people just feel so it's such a private issue and they feel so much shame and embarrassment about it. By the way, whether or not they're overweight, people who are perfectly normal weight or even underweight feel this way too. So it's really not about weight. It's about a relationship to eating and a relationship to food. And really, it's a relationship to desire, conflict over desire. I think that you just ask them, hey, you know, I'm here to talk to you. I'm here for you. If you want to talk to me about this, I'm here for you. I'm open to whatever that you want to say about because I'm your friend or I'm your family member, and I want you to feel, you know, more relaxed about this. So do you want to talk? Then you open it up to them.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a good plan. That's what I will follow because I know this will come up.
Then, no, okay, so that's when they say something. Now, if they don't say anything, that's where it gets trickier, where you want to be able to voice your support, but you also don't want to be this intrusive, like, hey, just by the way, I'm here for you, dude. You know, I'm here for you if you're worried about that. I think you just want to look at if it depends on the relationship. If it's someone that you have a close relationship where you've had open discussions, you can ask them a question like, hey, how are you feeling about the holidays, especially about the whole food part? And so you ask them
right.
kind of an open-ended question. And if they're like, oh, whatever, I can't even go there. Then you just say, okay, you know, if you want to talk about it, I'm here. But if they say, oh, the food, what do I do? I feel horrible. It's overwhelming. Then you just say, well, let's talk about it. I'm here.
Okay, cool. Thank you. I appreciate the response. And that's like helpful, practical guidance that I'm going to put to use.
Wonderful. Well, Brian, let us know how it goes.
I will.
And happy holidays.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, it's really hard to know what to say to someone unless they bring it up. And I get that question a lot, like, oh, I'm worried about my, child, grandchild, husband, wife, aunt, uncle, friend, I'm worried about them. What do I do? And I think that you have to say something, but it doesn't have to be like, j'accuse, you're doing something wrong. It more like, I'm worried about your well-being. I'm worried about your health. That's one that a lot of people say. Oh, just say, I'm really concerned about your health. Well, you know how people hear that? When someone says, I'm really concerned about your health, this is what they hear. You're fat. That's what they hear. So don't say that. Say, I'm really concerned about you and your well-being. Well-being, while it may be a synonym for health, just goes over better. Right? And think about what you'd want to hear from somebody else, right? You want people to come up to you and say, a friend to say, hey, look, I know the holidays are tough. I know it's hard. I know you're struggling. How can I help? That's a very open-ended question. It's not shaming. It doesn't put the spotlight on someone. It gives them the choice. Hey, how can I help? And they might say, you can't. And if someone says it to you, you might say, you can't. Or you might say, well, hey, when my gross Uncle Norman starts cornering me in the room, like, can you please get me away from him? Or it's like, how can you help practically? So, okay, back to Adam. So the purpose of eating is not only to meet your nutritional requirements. If you eat a bunch of tasteless rabbit food, you are eventually going to want something yummy. And then you might think, oh, I shouldn't be eating this yummy thing. I won't be able to eat it for a long, 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 long time because I've got to lose weight. So as long as I'm being bad and eating this yummy thing, I'm going to eat as much of it as humanly possible. Or it goes, oh, I'm just going to have another little tiny slice. Oh, just another little tiny slice. Oh, just a sliver, and then another sliver, and then another sliver. And before you know it, you've had the whole thing, or half of it, or way too much, and you feel the horrible shame and guilt. So remember, enjoying food is not the same as binging or overeating. In fact, binging and overeating is not enjoyable. Most people will can relate to the idea that it's hell. It's horrible. Like it tastes good for like a second, and then it becomes this exercise in self judgment and shame and just feeling regretful and remorseful and just feeling out of control and you can't stop, and it's the worst feeling in the world. So enjoying food is about saying, that's good. I really like that. And when you're eating for enjoyment, you're not eating to resolve a psychological problem. And by the way, Nicole, if you're listening, occasionally using food as a pick-me-up to wake up, occasionally using it as a reward, occasionally using it to celebrate isn't necessarily a bad thing. But when eating is your main way of coping, when your first impulse, when you feel uncomfortable, whether that is emotionally uncomfortable or tired, or sometimes people are amped up, they're just so like, oh, I had way too much coffee, I need to eat carbs. They're eating to calm down. When your first impulse is to eat something to resolve something psychological or physiological, when you're stressed, upset, angry, lonely, exhausted, or bored, then you get stuck in an unhealthy cycle where the real feeling, the real problem, the real issue is never addressed. And that brings me to emotional hunger, which cannot be filled with food. May feel good in the moment, for a moment, but the feelings that triggered the eating don't go away. You cannot stuff them down. And you often feel worse than you did before, because now on top of the reason you turn to food, now you feel bad for turning to food and you're thinking, oh my God, I just ate 5,000 calories, whatever. How did I do that? Now you feel doubly bad. So remember, there is always hope. As long as you have a beating heart, there is hope. you can change. And I have heard from the hopeless many, many, many times, there's no hope. I've always been this way. I'm always going to be this way. I'll never change. I'll never, ever, ever change. I cannot imagine asking myself, what do I feel like eating today? Can't imagine it. And then later, they say, I can't believe it, but it happened. It happened. I sat down and I wasn't thinking about I shouldn't eat this, I shouldn't eat that. I thought, what do I want? And then I ate till I was full, and then I stopped. Who am I? Who am I? They say, because they can't believe that change is possible. But I want you to know, change is possible. No matter how powerless you feel over food, no matter how powerless you feel over your feelings, it is possible to make a positive change. So, let's talk about a little more about emotional eating. So first of all, let's see, are you an emotional eater? Let us check it out. So here are some signs of emotional eating. Eating more when you're stressed, eating when you're not hungry. You know, oh, I just had dinner. Why am I in the pantry? Do you eat to feel calmer, to calm and soothe your body? Like I was saying, you know, you're all stressed out. And sort of calms you down, because food can have a real sedative effect. It can also have an amplifying effect, like with Nicole earlier. She's tired, so she's going to eat something to rev herself up. Do you reward yourself with food? I got that promotion, or here's a good one. I was on that diet for one whole month. I was perfect. So now I'm going to reward myself with chocolate cake. Huh. Do you regularly eat until you are stuffed, where you're just like, oh, it hurts? Does food make you feel safe? Do you feel like food is a friend? It is a friend, by the way. It is a friend and an enemy. So it is a frenemy, because it is doing something for you. It is helping you. It is helping you cope. It is fulfilling some need. So it is a friend, but it also hurts you, because it hurts your body. It hurts your self-esteem. It's painful. So it's a frenemy. And if you feel powerless or out of control around food, chances are, if you can answer, you know, either, you know, even if one of those fits you, you have a tendency to be an emotional eater. An emotional hunger can be really powerful. And sometimes our experience of yearning, of wanting more of something else in life, can literally be physically felt as hunger. Like, think about our language and our culture. Like, we say we're hungry for love, or we're, you know, power hungry. We're hungry for attention, starving for attention, right? So we use words relating to hunger with other things. And we have such a strong mind-body connection, believe it or not, that you could be starving for more money, financially starving for love, hungry for love, and you can feel that. It's crazy, but it's amazing. You can feel that as physical hunger. But there are clues that you can look for to discern whether this is in fact physical hunger or if it is emotional hunger. So one of them is it comes on suddenly. It hits you, and it's overwhelming. It's urgent. It's like, now. Now, unless you have hypoglycemia, in which case, yeah, that's what happens. At least it does to me, where I'm fine, and all of a sudden, crash. For most people, that kind of all of a sudden, I'm hungry for a specific thing, by the way, craving, all of a sudden, I must have this. That is a response to a situation that's not actually physical hunger. So usually that urge to eat because of physical reasons doesn't feel as urgent. It's not like you need instant satisfaction, unless you have not eaten in too long, in which case then you have low blood sugar or something. Emotional hunger is about craving specific comfort foods. When you're physically hungry, almost anything sounds good, including vegetables. Like, I'm starving. Yes, I will have that cauliflower. But emotional hunger is, oh, I really need that. I need to go through the, you know, drive through at Carl's Jr. Does Carl's Jr. have a drive? Yes, they do. I do not know my fast food places. Emotional hunger is I need junk food. I need pizza. I need cookies. I need ice cream. It's usually about something that is, you know, unhealthy and related to comfort. So if you feel like you need cheesecake, you need pizza, you need something like that, nothing else will do, that is a sign that you are feeling some emotional hunger. And if you've been listening to the show, you know about my food mood formula. If you haven't been listening to your show, to my show, and this is your first time, welcome. In a nutshell, here's the food mood formula. Get so good at turning to food to resolve something emotional that you don't know you're even triggered emotionally. So how do you figure it out? By, you know, what's the trigger? What do you really need? Smooth and creamy, like ice cream and pudding and that kind of stuff, that's related to a need for comfort. Filling foods like pizza, pasta, muffins, brownies, bread, anything that really fills a void and takes up space in your stomach, that's related to filling an emptiness within you or loneliness. So if those are your go-to foods or that's what you feel all of a sudden a craving for, you want to look at, okay, what's going on with me? Is there some emptiness in my life? Is there a hole in my soul? Is there a hole in my life that I really need to look at instead of trying to symbolically fill it with food? And the last one is crunchy. If you just cannot stop eating those Doritos or those chips or anything with a crunch, that's your sign that you are angry. And by the way, angry doesn't mean enraged. Angry can mean frustrated, annoyed, irritated. Like there's a whole spectrum of all feelings, including anger. So emotional hunger often leads to mindless eating. When it's that kind of thing when you, before you know it, you've eaten the whole bag of chips. You've eaten the whole pint of ice cream. You didn't really pay attention. You didn't really even enjoy it. It's just like, boom, suddenly it's gone. And when you're eating in response to physical hunger, you're definitely more aware of what you're eating, and you're more aware of being satiated. When you're eating for emotional eating, it's like I've heard it, like I go into the food zone. When I was struggling, you know, in my eating disorder days, I remember that feeling. It would be like I'm in a different place. The world isn't there. It's like I have an out of body experience, and then suddenly I'd sort of come back to my body and go, oh my God, what? So when that happens, something emotional is going on. And also, emotional hunger is not located in your body and your stomach. It's in your mind, right? Emotional hunger is, okay, my stomach is growling. Everyone can hear it. Sorry, guys. I've got an alien in my stomach. That's what it feels like. Whereas emotional hunger is a thought. Ooh, I really need that. That's emotional hunger. And you get focused on very specific textures, tastes, and smells. And emotional hunger causes regret, guilt, shame. When you eat to satisfy physical hunger, you're like, oh, good, that was good. Now I'm not hungry anymore. When you eat to satisfy emotional hunger, you feel guilty, you feel ashamed, you feel regret, you feel horrified, all of those things. So what to do? Let me look at time. Okay, well, I don't have that much time. I'm going to go over this next week, but I'm going to start, which is identifying your emotional eating triggers. So you got to look at what situations, places, or feelings are your triggers. Often we think we're being triggered by food, but really food is the answer to the trigger. It is not the trigger. So one way of identifying the trigger is, if you're eating ice cream and you need comfort, what was it that caused you to need comfort? If you're filling the void, what was it that triggered that need? So you want to look at what are you temporarily silencing in your head and your heart? What are you stuffing down? Is it anger? Is it fear? Is it sadness, anxiety, loneliness, resentment, shame? Because when you're numbing yourself with food, you are avoiding temporarily the difficult emotions you'd rather not feel. And often they have to do with someone else. But what ends up happening is instead of feeling it about someone else, you end up feeling it about yourself. You displace it from the situation with someone else, not always, but often, to yourself for what you ate. Next week, I'm almost out of time. I'm out of time. Next week, I'm going to talk more about what to do about these triggers, more about how to identify these triggers, and feel free to write me, either email me or message me on Instagram or Facebook. Ask me any question. I am here to answer it. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific here on LA Talk Radio. You can also find more from me at my website, drninainc.com, where I have lots of giveaways and helpful hints to help you create a healthier, happier relationship to yourself and food. I'll see you next week.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.